Thank you for, you know, working on a front line and without any hesitation. So I don't have any agenda today. I just wanted to know what, I mean, what being police doing in this critical time. So can you explain a little bit, Mr. Moore, on this, what you're dealing with?
Thank you, Juan. I think the first thing to discuss, can you hear me?
Yes, loud and clear.
The first thing is, how has it impacted our ability to police the city? And I would tell you, so far, so good. We're very fortunate. And some of the stuff I discussed in the town hall meeting, but we've been very fortunate is we haven't lost any of our members to the, lost manpower owing to one of our guys getting sick. We've had a couple, really early on, a couple quarantines, but we're able to get testing quickly. So I can honestly say that our patrols are very good. We haven't been hurt by the virus yet. Right at the beginning, the union approached me with an idea for 12-hour shifts. And what that's done is it reduces the exposure of losing a lot of police officers owing to quarantine. For example, under our old schedule, if an officer came in, we would have to isolate or quarantine that whole squad. Now, with the 12-hour shifts, we've broken it down where the officers don't interact with each other, the numbers don't interact with each other as frequently, so it reduces the chance for exposure. At the same time, the officers are working more hours, so you're going to see more police officers, more patrols available on the street. Now, one of the things you'd think is that in the middle of all this, our calls for service would go down substantially, but they really haven't. We've only seen about a 15% fall in calls for service. But I will tell you that our arrests are way down. Our arrests are down over 30% from this time last year. And our our ticket writing is way down. Our ticket writing is about one-third of what it was at this time. And that's owing to a lot of things. As far as the arrests are concerned, we don't see summary arrests. We just don't see the people on the street. Tickets, you know, obviously there's a less vehicle traffic. So all those numbers are down. The crime categories are down, which is a good thing, which means we're still being able to keep people safe or property safe. But the domestic, as I mentioned, the meeting domestic violence is up. So we got the hold of Columbia Green Domestic Violence, was able to get some literature and some stuff out there to some of our victims in the city. And hopefully they'll use the hotline for counseling and help and things like that. So I would say we're in good shape. One of the things I'm going to try a little something technical here, Juan, if you bear with me. I want to just show you something, if you can hear me. Early on in the epidemic, we just so happened to have ordered back in January a bunch of these hand sanitizers. Mm-hmm. So those are distributed around the station. Also, which helps keep our guys safe. And then let's see here. One of the things we have is we've posted on all the doors in our offices. You know, we keep our doors shut during the day to mm-hmm. isolate the officers, the administrative people working in their offices, so our doors are shut. Some of the other things are, let's see here, outside, this is interesting. We've locked the lobby. Because we've seen that little red box we've installed, it's called a squawk box, mm-hmm. where people can talk to us inside the station and remain outside. Okay. And that way we can kind of triage as to what's going on without having direct contact with people. And then as you can see here, the the courts are shut down. That's normally where the court officers are.
Right.
That's gated. They're shut down until June 9th. Hmm. And then let me think of one more thing here to show you. This is interesting. We created in our garage a decontamination tent area for our officers to come in and decontaminate if they have a possible exposure.
Yeah.
And I don't know. Are you seeing all this stuff? I hope so.
Yeah, we're seeing it.
Very exciting. So this is all of our supplies. You can see we have ample supplies of hand sanitizer, masks, and we have a good, I attend the meetings every day virtually with the county so that we can get supplies if we have a problem. And lastly, this is just the scene from inside the sanitation decontamination tent right there. And let's see, one last thing, I think. That's it. So that's basically it. So we've been very lucky in terms of losing manpower. So we find that we haven't ticketed anybody. We haven't arrested anybody. I think the guys are doing a good job in the spirit of what you want your police department to be. I think what you folks would agree with. We don't want it to be the police department that goes in and arrests a bunch of people without giving at least a warning or an opportunity for them to comply. And luckily, people have been very, very good about complying.
Okay, speaking of 12-hour shift, you already working like that, or are you thinking about it?
Well, we've been trying to explore through every contract negotiation a way to get one thing, and that is more bodies on the street at a time that they're most visible. And this has been something from ever since I've been here as chief, trying to figure out how to make more patrols available during high visibility times. The 12-hour shift accomplishes that, but in order for that to become a permanent thing, we'd have to enter into some kind of negotiations with the city. So I thought this was a pretty good chance to pilot the program, and we'll see what the reception is, how it all works out in terms of the officers like it, whether it really works, and whether it's doable. And I think after this virus passes, we'll probably request a sit down with the city to see if this is something that's viable.
Can you explain a little more about what the objective of the shift is of a 12-hour shift outside of quarantine times?
I thought I glazed over that a little fast. What the 12-hour shift does, the officers work more hours but fewer days, if you can understand that. They work 12 hours, three days on, two off, 2 days on, three off. And instead of working 8-hour shifts, changing their shifts all the time, they work 7 a.m. to 7 p.m., 7 p.m. to 7 a.m. And what happens is when you take the platoon and they only see one platoon at the change of shifts, you're exposing them to fewer other officers. So rather than it limits the interaction between the larger number of police officers. I don't know if you understand what I'm trying to say.
Well, I understand what that would mean during this quarantine time, but you were saying that you were thinking of suggesting this out after or when there's not quarantine, whenever that is.
If we got to look at this afterwards, what does it cost in terms of overtime? What does it save in terms of overtime? Right now, what we're seeing is, and you can see it, is more patrols working than normal. Our average is usually three officers and a supervisor, or three officers during a shift. Now you're seeing four and sometimes five.
COVID? Mm-hmm. Chief Moore, I'm sorry. Is that due to the COVID?
Yeah, what happens is the union asked if they could try out this 12-hour shift to limit their exposure. So we're going to do it as a test program during the COVID to see how it all works out. It might be a thing that ends up benefiting the city.
Do the officers, apart from the COVID, do the officers like this arrangement better than?
Well, that's the thing. We probably won't be able to adopt this schedule unless they come forward. They're going to have a meeting and see if they have endorsement of the union. A lot of departments have gone to 12 hours. The troopers, Catskill Police Department has gone to it. So we'll see. This is the test phase right now. It's working for us now because of the COVID. And let's see if it works for the city, if it's something we can work out when this is all over.
So
So if it's 12 hours, that means it's overtime involved over here, right?
That's the interesting part. The one, there's a built-in 4 hours of overtime per week per officer. But what's interesting is we're seeing less overtime that we would normally spend. It's kind of a wash. And what I mean by that is, I'll have to sit down and explain it to you, but when you look at the bottom line of overtime per month, let's say, it's about the same. So, but we're, you know, if we run this thing for 2 or 3 months, like it's looking, we'll have some real hard figures to see if this costs us any more or actually saves us money.
I would just wonder also, I mean, I know that, like, I don't know, it sounds like a long shift. Like, it seems like it might possibly, I would say something like bring efficiency down.
Yeah.
People would be tired and not necessarily, you know, at their best.
Let me tell you, for me, it would kill me. At my age, it would kill me. But young people like it because what happens is they have every other weekend off.
Mm-hmm.
And more time with their family, and it improves their quality of life. And when you're young, you can work 12 hours. Personally, I don't think I could. That's why you see in the troopers and other departments, the administrative staff generally don't work the 12 hours. But the patrolmen seem to like it.
It'll age them faster.
Yeah.
What is, like, the average age of the troopers? I mean, I'm not the troopers, the people.
SPD.
Okay. Well, Rebecca, we're a very young department. Our average patrolman's only got 2.5 years on the job. I've been here 7 years, and I think I've hired 9 officers. So so it's a very, very young department. But you got to understand, too, they're young, they have families, and they put a high premium on having weekends off with their families. And like I said, the 12-hour shift concept is – they're working more hours for the city, but they actually have more days off.
And more time with family, yes.
When it's all done, you know, when thankfully we get done with this virus, you know, I'll have everything laid out, and with something we'll discuss in committee, and I'll have all the hard figures and stuff for you to look at, if this is a way that the city or the officers want to go.
Okay.
Chief Moore. You don't mind Malachi right here.
Hello, Malachi.
How you doing, sir?
Good.
Actually, just wondering about you guys. How you guys doing with you know, masks and equipment and that sort of thing out here right now?
Every morning at 10 a.m. I have a meeting with the county, and this has been, you know, virtual meeting, and this has been going on since the beginning. And the sheriff has been very good. We're holding out. We have the supplies we need. We're doing just fine, and I think if I'm in a pinch, I could rely on the county. There's a lot of communication going on, and I'm pretty confident that we can be safe and continue our services, you know, uninterrupted.
Are you guys seeing a spike in, you know, social media? You hear a little bit of everything, but are you guys seeing a spike in overdoses, for that matter?
Yeah, it's funny. The county has seen it. We have not seen it in Hudson. So the county has had overdose spikes across the country, I think. We've seen it. But for some reason, Malachi, we've not seen it in Hudson.
That's good.
So far.
Yeah, so far, yes.
Okay.
Are you getting your... just? question. Are you getting your equipment, masks and stuff from the county emergency preparedness or the health department?
We've gotten through the county. This distributed by the emergency management, but yeah, we've also gotten a lot of donations. I'll tell you what, I give credit to our staff. Before this really got going bad, you know, the virus, we had ordered back as early as February 6th a quantity of masks, hand sanitizers, equipment that we got in just before this thing started to ramp up. So Betty Scott, Doreen Danforth, the staff that were on the ball and got these things ahead of time. So we were very fortunate for them, grateful for them.
And Como require mask on the public places. If you see, I'm just wondering, a lot of people, you can hear me?
Yes, yep.
Oh, okay. A lot of people I see in the street without the mask and everything. So you guys any thought, like, what are you going to do? I mean, people say, oh, they're going to get a ticket or something. What's it?
We have a provision, thanks to communicating with the mayor and with Cheryl Roberts. We've been provided a section in the public health law where we could actually cite someone, but our attitude has been to ask people to comply before we arrest, you know, and write tickets, and people have complied. We have a very high rate of cooperation in our city. We just haven't had, and there's the other thing too, the sheriff is the person who receives pause complaints, you know, official complaints. Mm-hmm. And if he gets an actual complaint and directs it, redirects it over to the city, we take action. But we've been fortunate. We haven't had a lot of those type of complaints. The thing is, I think that's, unless I hear from you guys differently, I mean, that's the attitude I'd like to take. I'd like to give folks a chance to comply. Especially when you talk about, for example, we had a complaint of the protesters over by Planned Parenthood, and we did not issue them tickets, but I did go directly over there, and they immediately complied. In most instances, in almost all instances, if people were in the park or wandering through the park or weren't doing social distancing, they immediately fix the situation. And I like that. I like that a lot better than handing out tickets.
Can I, Chief Moore, how many protesters were there?
There was two, a pastor and another man that we know, we speak to frequently over there.
Okay, I thought you were talking about like a big group. I was just curious.
No, we did get a complaint. We'll move on every complaint. You know, every complaint we get, we're right there. I have plenty of blotter entries where we hear something or someone will call in, hey, check this out. We go, we document it. And we just haven't had those repeat offenders and people really flaunting it yet. I don't know, you know, it could be getting crazy here soon, but we haven't had that problem yet.
Anyone has any more questions?
Yes, Chief, could you be a little more specific about the mask wearing? I think Dewan was under the impression that everyone has to wear a mask regardless of if they're in a group or not. I don't believe that's the actual provision.
It comes down from the governor, right?
Right.
The governor said that if you cannot maintain social distancing, you should wear a mask.
Right.
Now, you know, it'd be a tough situation to see someone walking together and writing them a ticket and arresting them. We're going to give those folks a chance to separate or put a mask on.
Thank you.
Yeah.
So, now, go ahead.
No, go ahead, Dewan. I'm sorry.
No, so, you guys distributing any gloves or sanitizer or anything, or no, you're just using for your team?
We have enough for the police department. We haven't distributed any, but we have enough, I think. You know, we've got enough to cover what our needs are, but we don't have a huge excess yet. Now, I have been talking to the sheriff, and I'm thinking by the end of the week, we'll have a large supply in. So he's keeping me posted on that, and we should be in pretty good shape here in a couple, couple days.
Yeah, I have not chief. I mean, I'm just saying to everybody, I found a gloves. I mean, I get a gloves from the city of Hudson. So in case anybody need anything, any gloves, they could contact me to get it.
Very good.
I mean, not gloves, my bad, mask.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Anyone else have any question?
I just got one more thing to talk about, Duane. I did not put on the agenda.
Okay.
You know, we're going to be under a mandate soon here to look at a budget reduction.
Yeah.
They put on the mayor's table to have him look at potentially. And I just wanted you to know that I am working on that. We have a $3.1 million budget. 2.7 of it is salaries. So we don't have a lot of discretionary spending. But I want the committee to know that, you know, I'm working on it with our clerks to come up to try to trim, you know, have something available for the mayor, which he's requested, I think, by this week's city meeting, Wednesday. So we are working on that, trying very hard on that. The department doesn't have a lot of discretionary spending. A lot of what we have is tied to salaries and tied to contracts for everything from communications, radios, and computer, telephones, everything. A lot of that is contractual. Mm-hmm. So if I just wanted to put that out there prior to Wednesday's meeting, that we are working on it, and we will do our best to do what the mayor has requested.
Okay.
Can you say what meeting on Wednesday? Is that a special meeting?
Meeting
informal.
No, it's a meeting of all the commissioners, department heads.
Oh, okay. Is that a public meeting or is that
no?
No, okay. Gotcha.
Not hiding anything though.
That's cool.
It sounds like you have about $400,000 to play with from.
Yes.
Yeah. So that's not, it's not very much.
No. We're going to put everything down. I've sent something to the mayor today. Everything will be right there for City Hall to look at. So we're going to do our best over here.
Okay. All right. Anyone? Okay, no one? Any question? Okay.
Thank you very much, Dor.
All right, thank you. Motion to adjourn?
Adjourned.
Okay. All right. Thank you, everyone.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Have a good day, everybody.
Bye-bye.